In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. I want to tell you a parable today, like I've sometimes told you other scriptural parables that are actually true stories. This time I'm going to speak of the life of St. Mary of Egypt and compare it to the parable of the prodigal son, because there's great similarities and some important differences between the two. We celebrate St. Mary of Egypt today. Her story is real. It's historical. Everything in it's true. Everything in it is unbelievable for those who do not have faith. In fact, the storyteller, St. Sophronius, who had heard it by word of mouth, repeated by the monks, and wrote it down, said that for many they would not be able to believe it. But it's every word of it's true. So I'll tell you the story in the context of the parable of the prodigal son. We know the story of the prodigal son. He says to his father, Father, give me the goods which are laid up for me, the inheritance. And he takes the inheritance and he goes to a far country and he lives prodigally with debauchery, uses up all the money on unclean things and is starving to death so that he has to even feed pigs. And he wants to even eat the corn husks that and the slop that the pigs are eating. But no one would give him any. Then he comes to himself. It's a very important thing that the scripture says. And when he came to himself, he recognized his depravity. He recognized his penury. He recognized his sin. But he also recognized that his father would receive him. So he made a vow and said, I will go to my father. I will say to my father, I'm unworthy of heaven and earth. But only let me be as your hired servant. And so he went back. And on the way back, in his weakened condition, his father was looking for him and saw him afar off and came up and kissed him, put a robe on him, sandals on his feet, a ring on his finger, and killed the fatted calf and had a feast. Now there's other parts of that story, but that's the part really that applies. And I want to compare it to the life of St. Mary of Egypt. By the way, you should know this story better than anything. You should know this story as well as anything that you know in life. It should be in your heart, burned in your heart. And the life of St. Mary should be burned in your heart. Even the numbers in her story are burned in my heart. The three visits, if you count them, one when she was dead, of St. Zosimus. The 17 years of debauchery, the 17 years of struggle in the desert until she was delivered of her sins. The 47 years in the wilderness. All those numbers in the story, I remember because I've read the story, 35 times I've heard it. And I've read it probably double that, at least. So let's talk about the story of St. Mary and compare it. And let's see if we can learn something from it. What do you learn? From parables. You learn how to live from parables. You learn something that's wrong with you or something that's right with you that you need to keep doing, something that's wrong that you need to stop doing. You learn something about your soul from parables. So what are we going to learn from St. Mary's life? I hope that we learn several things. One is I hope that we have great hope. But remember, hope's not wishing. Hope's not thinking, I want this to happen, but I'm not sure. Hope is waiting for what's going to happen. I hope we have great hope that we will be completely delivered of our sins, because if someone like Mary, who was such a sinner, could be delivered of her sins and become like an angel, even in this life, then we can be delivered too. But I also have the desire, I can't say hope, because I'm not sure if it's going to happen or not. I have the desire for each one of you that this story of St. Mary would rebuke you. And you'd go to yourself, I've been lazy. I've been stupid. I need to get better. Those two things together. And they're not contradictory, really. They're complementary. Christianity is defined by honesty. And the greatest honesty must be with yourself. If you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody else. Christianity is brutal honesty. And this story of St. Mary should make you think some things about yourself. But don't think them just with despair, because St. Mary overcame all. So can we. First, I'll tell you about Zosimus. So the way the story starts, it starts with Zosimus. It sort of starts slowly. You know how in a movie sometimes when you think, when are they going to get to the action? Well, that's the way the St. Mary story starts, because it talks about Zosimus. But everything about Zosimus is very important. So he was a monk that had been a monk since the time he was 7 years old, and he was exalted in his spiritual life, and he started to have a temptation. Now, you and I don't have this sort of temptation, because we know we're pretty terrible, and we see the evidence of it all the time. We have other temptations. We have the other passions, the anger and the resentment and all those other things. St. Zosimus didn't have those things anymore. So he was being tempted by the evil one to have this thought that nobody had accomplished as much as him and nobody could teach him anything anymore. So he had a revelation that he should go to the Holy Land. And so he did. And he attached himself to a monastery there. And the rule of that monastery, the special rule, the unique rule of that monastery, was why St. Zosimus was sent by God to go there. On the Sunday of Forgiveness, after they prayed and ate a little food in the Trappist, all the monks scattered into the wilderness across the Jordan River. And they all hid from one another, and they stayed out for the 40 days of the fast, and only God knew what they did in terms of their fasting and their prayer and their tears. And then they came back on Palm Sunday and spent Holy Week together and Pascha. And so St. Zosimus did what he was told. He went out into the wilderness, and he had this desire to find someone that would teach him something about the spiritual life, and he did. He was 20 days out on his journey. There's another number. And he saw this black form running away from him. He thought, it looked like a person. So he ran after it and called after it. He kept running. Finally, it was such that it was clear to Mary that she was not going to outrun Zosimus. So she cried out after him, said, Abba Zosimus, I am a poor, sinful woman, naked in my shame. Please throw me your cloak. So he did. And then they were able to talk. And then St. Zosimus forced her to tell her story. And so we have it now preserved. She told the story. And here is the story. When she was just a maiden, she was 12 years old, she fell into complete debauchery. She was baptized. This is very important. She was baptized, but not religious at all. Probably never even thought of God. And at 12 years old, she started to live a public, like a street life, as a prostitute. There's a similarity to the son. Now, the son said to his father, give me of my inheritance. That inheritance is not money. In the case of the prodigal son, it's money in the parable. But what it is in metaphor is God's grace given to us for everything we need for our salvation, which of course is given to us in baptism. So Mary was baptized. We are baptized. For the sake of the story, the metaphor, the son was baptized, had everything he needed in order to grow with his father and to become perfected. But he took the gifts of his father and he squandered them in profligacy. So did Mary. She said to Zosimus, she was delicate the way she described her debauchery. She said there was no natural or unnatural thing she did not do. And she said that she was not only a prostitute, but she gave away her body because she wanted as much pleasure as possible and have as many lovers as possible. And she loved wine and meat and fish and rowdy drinking songs. And she lived completely heedlessly for 17 years. This was in Alexandria, Egypt. And even though she'd lived a street lifestyle for 17 years, she was still beautiful. This is by God's providence, because she was going to book passage on a boat because of her beauty. She saw that there's a group of Libyans and Egyptians that were going to go on a boat. And if she found out they were going to go to the Holy Land and see the cross, because the cross was still intact at that point. This was in about 600 something. And she didn't care about the cross, but she knew that on a boat were a bunch of men for 2 weeks. They had nowhere to go. And so she could have more lovers. So she just booked passage on the boat, not with money, but as she said, with her body. And then the boat landed, and she just ran around Jerusalem, just doing what she normally does, including on the day of the cross. And so it was matins, early in the morning, and the bell rings, and everybody runs to the church, including sinners alike. So Mary has nobody left to be debauched with, so she goes with. She wants to go in and see what's happening. She goes through the narthex. She can't get into the nave. She can't come through the doors of the church to see the cross. She's trying to go in. The crowd is pushing, and just by the inertia of the crowd, someone could actually lift their legs and still be carried in. And yet she was not able to get in. She tried twice, and she was exhausted. So she stood in the narthex, and there was an icon of the Mother of God. And this is when she came to herself. Just like the prodigal, she recognized the grace of God penetrated into her heart. A person that forgive our terrible sins, that we might see on the street and say, that person, they're never gonna come to church. They're never going to pray. They're always going to be a thief. They're always going to be a drug addict. They're always going to be a prostitute. That kind of person. And the grace of God filled her heart. She recognized what she was doing. 17 years of wasted life, of impurity. She's standing before the all-pure one. She came to herself, to the Mother of God. If the Mother of God would allow her to see the cross of her son, she would do whatever the Mother of God tells her and go wherever she tells her to go. And she would never, ever be impure again. And so she did venerate the cross. She came in. And the crowd just seemed like it parted for her. She could come in very easily. She venerated the cross in like almost like a state of hysteria. She goes out of the church. And in my opinion, an angel gave her 3 coins. She bought 3 loaves of bread. She walked all day to come to a monastery that was on the Jordan. And she had confession and communion. Slept on the ground. And then the next day, she got a boat and went across the Jordan and spent 47 years in the wilderness until Abba Zosima saw her. The first 17 years are very important. And this is the big difference between the parable of the prodigal son and St. Mary's life applied as a parable to us. She spent 17 years in the wilderness consumed with the desire for, as she called it in a delicate way, embraces, and the lustful drinking song she used to sing. They would kind of play in her head. And she wanted the meat and the fish and the wine that she had so much of. And she remembered her vow to the Mother of God. But she burned with these things. She trembled with desire. So she would lay on the ground a day and a night begging for help to withstand this temptation, which was like burning her like in an oven, until finally peace would descend upon her and she would be able to get up and go her way. And during the time that she was praying, we're talking not 5 minutes or 10 or even 2 hours, we're talking a day and a night in the desert, she was remembering her vow to the Mother of God. That she said she would never defile herself again. And she never did. But it took 17 years for her to be able to be free of that demon of lust and a gluttonous desire. All the unclean things that she had done for 17 years previously. But God delivered her from these things. Such that when Zosimus asked her to pray, and it was a long time in the prayer, he looked up and she was a forearm's length above the ground. She was midway between a person and an angel at this point. And she lived the rest of her time after the 17 years of struggle like an angel. And then Zosimus saw her at the end of this 47 years in the desert, and then eventually he saw her a second time and gave her communion. And on that night that she had communion, she was transported, much like the Apostle Philip was, or like Habakkuk was, instantaneously, and died at the place where they met each other the first time. Now, the difference between the two parables is that the parable of the prodigal son sort of happens very fast. We don't really know how long the man was in debauchery. Perhaps he was in debauchery a year or two, or maybe 17 years. But then he came to himself and he came back to his father. And the father's looking far off. And in the parable, it seems like it happens quickly. But in St. Mary's life, it took 17 years for her to be delivered from her sins, from her addictions. 17 years. That's the big difference. And that's really the way life happens. If you have some struggle in your life, something that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, maybe something that you're not doing that you should be doing, and you try to do better and you're better for a little while and then you're not, or perhaps maybe you're never better, then you should follow the model of Mary and the model of the prodigal. They both made a vow, and they didn't forget that vow. The prodigal said he would go to his father and say, "I'm unworthy. Just make me as a hired servant." And Mary vowed to the Mother of God that with under her protection she would never, ever fornicate again. And they kept their vow. And we see the realistic keeping of the vow in St. Mary's life, where for 17 years she struggled against her sins. But she remembered her vow. Have you made a vow? Have you told God that this thing you're doing is just flat out wrong? And with His protection and His help, the prayers of the Mother of God, or perhaps the prayers of St. Pantaleon or someone, that you would stop doing what you're doing? Or if perhaps you can't make such a complete vow like that, like St. Mary did, perhaps some approximation of it? If you make a vow and you mean it, God will help you to keep it. Now, if you just say, "Well, you know, I wish I wasn't doing this," that's not going to cut it. You're not going to stop. That's not the way human beings work. You have to see the nature of your sin. You have to come to yourself. You have to say, "This is wrong, the way I live, the way I treat people, or my sexual impurity, or my anger, or my drinking, or whatever it is. This is wrong. This is a sin. This is an affront to God. And I got to stop." Now, perhaps you think you don't have any particular terrible sins that you could make a vow about. If you feel that way, I'm quite sad. Everybody has terrible sins. All of us do. So we have to make a vow to God. And we're going to change. Something that you're able to do, or maybe that's a little bit of a stretch, let's say. Mary was very bold. She said she was just going to cold turkey, stop being a sinner. And certainly with her body, she stopped being a sinner. But it took 17 years to stop being a sinner with her mind. If you want to make such an audacious vow, may God bless you, but you better keep it. You better be serious. I spoke yesterday that St. Mary rebukes us. And for those with ears to hear, let them hear this. I think we should all have ears for this. St. Mary made a vow to the Mother of God. She came to herself and knew her sin, and she fulfilled it. And it was rough. It was hard. She was hungry. She burned with thirst. Her skin turned black from the sun, but she fulfilled her vow. But we moderns, we're lazy. We can't even keep a prayer roll or come to church on time or come to church very regularly at all. We're lazy. Who do we think we are? We see examples from the scriptures and from St. Mary's life, which to me reads like scripture. This is the way we should live. This is important stuff. Your life's important. What you do and what you don't do is important. It has eternal consequences. But we live in a fog. St. Mary didn't live in a fog. She was clear-headed. So must we be. We should take her life as encouragement, but also rebuke. that we're too lazy. There's too many things we have not done that we should be doing. I'll tell you, as a pastor, many times I give simple advice. Simple advice. And I ask, 2 weeks later, I forgot. Oh, I lost the book. Oh, I don't know where it is. Well, no, I did it once. That doesn't cut it. That's not the way St. Mary lived. If St. Mary had been lazy in the desert, she would have gone right back to the city. She was not lazy. So her life should be a rebuke to our laziness. And I say this to myself first. I should be a lot better person than I am. I've had 35 years to get better. So let's learn from Mary's life as a parable of your life. There are things that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. And I don't mean just things that you're doing. I mean the person you are. If any one of you is satisfied with the person you are, you better look a little closer. We need to know that we're not the right person. Not yet. And then we need to work a little harder. Actually, a lot harder. Let's start with a little harder. We can't do the feats of St. Mary in the desert, but we can do something. So let her life encourage you and rebuke you and make you change a little bit. I hope that you leave liturgy today after having, of course, come to the Vespers that we serve at 2 o'clock, not just blown away. I mean, you're not going to be flying a kite in the park today or anything. What else do you have to do? There's no football. You stay for the service. And when you go home sometime, that you're thinking and sort of musing about what was said, and that you make a decision, you're going to change something. That's what I hope you do. I got plenty of stuff I need to change. And I'm in the process of changing some things. There's other things I don't do too well at. And Mary rebukes me about that. May God help us to come to ourselves, to make a vow to God, to not be so lazy, and to change. Through the prayers of the Holy Mother, Mary of Egypt, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.